you've got your Bible with you, and I trust that you have, and never be afraid to carry a portion of God's Word with you, because as we were this morning, we were going from one chapter to another, from one portion to another, and it's always good to look into God's Word. So if you've got a portion of God's Word with you, I'm inviting you to turn with me to John's Gospel in chapter 13, and we're beginning to read at verse 36, John's Gospel chapter 13. Chapter 13, reading from verse 36 to chapter 14 and verse 14. When you're looking that up, Neil Armstrong, a great statement that Neil Armstrong made was one small step for mankind. What was the other part of it? Oh, you're well educated. One giant step for mankind. I should write these things down properly. Yeah. What about Shakespeare? To be or not to be? Yes. You'll not know this one. Albert Einstein, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. I'm not sure about the universe. So I don't know what you mean by that. What about Oscar Wilde? Oscar Wilde says, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. Martin Luther King says, I have a dream. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Great statements, and I'm sure if you had time to think, those are statements that you would remember and could easily repeat. We're going to look at one of the great statements of the Bible tonight, very simply. And if you haven't understood the gospel up until now, you most certainly will after this meeting. It'll be the simplest of presentations that I can make of the gospel. Because I believe that the devil's in the business of making people as confused as possible. And so we're going to look at a very simple statement, but I want us to read from John's Gospel, chapter 13, and reading from verse 36. And here's how it goes. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you're wanting to know what this famous statement is, you'll notice as we read it there in verse 6. It's where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What is gathered around the Lord Jesus are quite a number of people. Several people who have heard him say that he's going away. Now, they knew he was from another kingdom. They knew he was from another world. They knew that he was a different individual to anyone that they'd ever met. There was something special. In fact, they often said that of him. Lord, who else can we turn to? You alone have the words of eternal life. They were amazed at the words. They were amazed at his actions, his works. They were amazed at this individual, and they loved to be around him. It was so blessed to be in his presence. And you know as well as I do, don't you folks, that whenever God comes to a place, you don't want it to be over. Sure you don't. And there's times we sensed him. We sense him drawing here. And I trust that it's not only in church that you experience this. I trust that you experience this in your quiet time. You know, you can have God moments. You heard me talk about God moments last week. Well, we can have God moments whenever God draws graciously near. And how it must have been to listen and to sit and listen in the presence of Jesus. And can I also say that even though he was present, there was often people there who didn't like him, didn't love him, who were in the wrong attitude. And so I've come to the conclusion, it's not necessarily the attitude of people that can determine the spiritual temperature of a meeting. So wasn't he in the house of Bethsaida, wasn't it? That there was those there that questioned what he said, they questioned what he taught, they questioned everything. But there were people there who wanted to hear him. And so it's not so much an attitude that affects a meeting, it's your attitude. Your attitude can determine whether you hear him or not. What it must have been like. If you had a hungry heart, and if you had a wonderful desire, as you've witnessed this gracious man, and you always wanted to be where he was. Mark was one of those people. Wherever there was a miracle, Mark was there. And now he's told them he's going away. And there's a wee bit of panic has stepped in. And they want to know how to get him. And more importantly, they want to be where he is and they want to get to where he's at when he does go away. I'm not sure about where you are with God. I don't know. I honestly don't know anymore. I know where I am. That's all I know. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what I know about you. But if there is someone in this meeting and you want to know, you want to be with him, you want to experience him, you don't want this on and off, up and down, haphazard kind of experiences. You want him to be with you and you want to be with him and you want to do everything you can to be in his presence. Well, here he gives us the greatest statement and the greatest direction that anyone could ever get. If you are 100% completely convinced that you want to be with me, let me spell out how you can get to me and my Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the greatest statement I can honestly say in God's word. Not that we're trying to relegate any other parts of his word. I want us to look at this statement for a wee while and see some of the things that it says to us. I want you to notice first of all the significance of what Jesus said. You know, the more important a person is, the more important that statement becomes. Isn't that true? I mean, I could talk about politics, but who's going to listen to me? Because I'm not a politician. But bring Theresa May in to make a speech. Or bring that Juncker from the bunker. What do you call him? Jean-Claude Juncker. That's not even for you, isn't it? The Juncker from the bunker. I don't like him. I'm being honest. And if he's listening online, I don't like you. When he makes a statement about Brexit, boy, I'm sick listening to that one. And when Theresa May makes a statement about politics, and when you're ones in the Hill, when they make a statement about politics, we don't listen. Sure we don't. So they don't listen to anybody else either. Or your man makes a statement about in the Bank of England. What do you call your man? Carney. Is that right? Is that his name? Mark Carney. All he has to do is make a statement. Boy, the world sits up and listens. There was a woman there recently. Her name is, and I heard it, and her name is, what do you call her? Kylie Jenner. Who's she? I haven't a clue. I haven't a notion. She could be a barmaid for all I know. I'm honest, I haven't got a clue who she is. But you know what she said last week? She said, I'm not using Snapchat anymore. And within 2 minutes of her saying she's not using Snapchat anymore, what happened? 1.3 billion were wiped off the stock markets of Snapchat. Well, I tell you what, if I took the notion that I was ever going to be on Snapchat, and then if any of you folk, I guarantee, if you come off Snapchat or whatever it is, and it'd do you the world of good if you did come off it, if you come off, it's not going to affect them one little bit. The more important a person that says a statement, the more important that statement becomes. Here's what the father said of him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Here's what the disciples said. Who else can we turn to? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. The woman at the well says, come, hear a man that told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? These people had discovered you could take Jesus at his word. Now, folks, if the doctor tells you to slow down, take it easy, put your feet up and take a rest, well, he's the man that knows, isn't that right? Isn't that right, Gene? He's the man that knows. Or Valerie, if you talk to some of your students and you talk to the parents and you tell them to stop looking at that old garbage in the television, like Damnation Street and Hemorrhoid Farm and all of those old things. Well, whenever, wasting their time listening to old garbage when they should have been studying for the exams, those parents would go home and say, your teacher tells you you have to stop looking at rubbish in the television and start doing some wee bit of revision. Is this good advice? It is. Is this good advice, Ashley? It is. Of course it is. I wish I'd have done it. If the accountant tells you to kick the credit card of the husband because he's spending far too much money, you'll listen to him because he knows. Isn't it interesting that the one who knows our hearts, knows our souls, knows our situation, knows our condition, the one who spells out, the one who's come from glory with the message that he can save those who will call on his name, and we turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to him because we think what he has to say is not relevant. The significance of this statement. I've told you about all my different encounters with the police down south whenever I was a faith mission pilgrim. I mean, here's how I got done for speeding down south once. I have a Bible verse for it. Did you know that? Oh, aye. Does anybody know what that Bible verse is? The Lord's work requires haste. So I was obeying the word. And I was, don't look at me like that. I was caught doing, was it 47 and a 30? Aye. And this boy come flying after us in a bat suit. He was a motorbike cop. And he had leathers. And I tell you what, he thought he's Evel Knievel. And he stopped me on it was a dual carriageway. And he says, do you know what speed you do it? I says, I haven't got a clue. By me saying that, I was admitting to careless driving. Isn't that right? So if you ever caught speeding, just tell them you know exactly what speed you're doing and you'll not be known for careless driving. Any cops in this place? No, you're all right. Anyway, he was not going to be compassionate. No, he was not. No, he says, I could give you a ticket, but I won't. No. He says, you'll be getting a summons in the post. And I went up to the, and you know what? I had no choice but to answer that summons. Some of you boys and some of you ladies, if you get an invitation, Jim Moore and his wife got an invitation up to the palace. Jim, you never thought of saying no, sure you didn't. No, because Her Majesty wanted the presence of Mr. and Mrs. Moore. Isn't that right? Am I wrong here? No. Nearly right. Boy, we wouldn't think of turning down some of these wonderful... I wouldn't mind getting an invitation. If you're listening, Your Majesty. But here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Here's the one that can fix your soul and fix your heart. Here's the one that can mend your broken life. Here's the one that knows exactly what you need. And he says, if you want to get in contact with the one who's the Father of lights and the one who brings gifts, the one who opens up the windows of heaven, the one who cares for your soul, he says, I am the way. You would think we'd rush to it, wouldn't you? And you could well be sitting here in darkness, and you could well be sitting here under condemnation, and you could well be sitting here with doubt and fear and lack of assurance and all kinds of confusion, and yet Jesus made it so simple. He says, I am the way. The significance. Notice the stability of what Jesus said. You know, people change. Isn't that right, Mrs.? He could be in good humor tomorrow, and boy, you couldn't look at him on Tuesday. Isn't that right? Did you wake up beside Grumpy this morning? Did you wake up Grumpy, Mrs. This morning? So people change. They're good today. It seems that my Esther used to have an uncle, and it used to be there was a full moon, but you couldn't look at him. People change. Religions change. Boy, have they not changed. I was talking to Noel Bell's family. I'm sorry, we meant to say this morning that Noel Bell has passed away and is buried. But we were not allowed to tell anyone, but he has passed away. I wanted to tell the congregation, but I wasn't given permission to do so. But I was talking to some of the family as we were preparing, and I went into Noel Bell's house one day. This Noel was housebound at this time. And dear soul, he'd never got over the passing of his dear wife. And it just broke his heart. And Noel was getting more and more unable to be out. I went to his house one day and he had the God channel. I call it the Godless channel. I call it the Godless channel. And he was looking at this boy, and he was running up and down the pulpit almost as fast as me. But he had a white suit. What else had he got? He had a crocodile, and he had gold teeth. And he was the biggest rep. I tell you what, I wouldn't believe or embrace his theology not for all the tea in China. And let me put it like this. He was fond of the dollar, but dollar was his name. That's as far as I'm going. And boy, I tell you, you just sent me $100. And I tell you, he says, God will make you rich. Well, I said, you send me your riches and God will make you even richer. Isn't it amazing how people have embraced such... Now, I must here say that Noel hadn't a clue what he was looking at or listening to, but it was just a wee bit of entertainment in the corner for the dear critter as he was incapacitated and unable to be out. But religions change. We have all sorts of concoctions of religions, and I tell you, the half of them are the religions of the devil. Easy believism. Come as you are and go as you like. Don't you be mixed up with those narrow-minded religions, but religious boys in the congregational church. Religions change. I'll tell you what else thinking changes. You used to think that the earth was flat and you went too far, you fell off. Then they said the earth was round, and then they decided, no, it was oval. I don't think they've found out what it is yet. But I tell you what, All these men have changed, but Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Listen to all the promises that have been made to you by family and friends, and try as they might to keep all those promises, they haven't been able to keep them. But God never broke his word. His standards have never changed. His statements have never changed. His status has never changed. You can trust him. And there's no need for confusion, because he never changes his message. His promises are as sure, his purposes are as clear, and his prescription is as effective as ever it was. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's the significance of what he said. There's the stability of what he said. Notice the strategy of what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus was addressing fears and concerns of those that were around him. In fact, he gathered around his feet three different individuals here that we read of: Peter, Thomas, and Philip. These three people represent you and I. They well represent. First of all, there was impulsive Peter. He said there, Lord, I'll never deny you. Peter says, before the cock crows twice, you deny me thrice. Peter was the kind of fellow that's always putting his foot in it. He always acts before he thinks. Maybe there's somebody like Peter in this meeting, and there was a meeting, a time somewhere where you put your trust in the Lord, you put up your hand, or you signed a little card, and you told someone you'd got saved, but you never thought about what you were getting into, and you didn't realize that this was going to be a tough road. And I want to tell you, if anybody has ever told you that it's easy to be a Christian, they were telling you lies. And then when the difficulties come, they turn their back and they go their own way and they say, I've tried it, it hasn't worked. Remember Esther and I, we worked in Maharafelt for a wee while with Faith Mission. We led this girl, Heather, and I'll tell you her second name, wouldn't be fair. And she came to the Lord and seemed to go so well for a wee few years. But then Esther and I left and Maher felt me down to Cork, and she wrote us a wee letter. I've tried this Christian thing, it hasn't worked, and so I'm going back into the world. Imagine writing a letter. Wait, just go back into the world. You never come out of it. Esther wrote her back a letter and said, if you're only trying it, you never had it. Impulsive Peter. What I've discovered is there's a lot of people who think they were saved or profess to be saved, and they say they're backslidden. And then that becomes a barrier for them getting the real thing. I want to tell you, listen to me when I say this, there is the real thing. And the Spirit of God takes hold of your heart and he empowers you and inflames you and inspires you, and you want to live for him. And you couldn't anymore go back into the world. I know that he'll let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. But I tell you, there's a desire to go on with God. Is there a desire to go on with God in your heart? Is there? Let me see your hand. Is there? Is there a desire? Are you hungry to go well on with him? Come hell or high water, you want to live for him. And you stand and you're in the presence of some individual and they're taking his name in vain, and it's hurting you. You ever feel that? It's hurting you. You've got the real thing. He's the most precious thing you'll ever have. Impulsive Peter. There was doubting Thomas. No, I couldn't trust him. I haven't got your faith. You've heard me say this before, haven't you? My son, he took a notion he was going to do a parachute jump to raise money. I said, son, please don't do it. He says, jumping out of an airplane with four strings and a bit of tablecloth. But isn't that true? We'll get into a taxi. We'll trust the taxi man. We'll get into the bus. We'll trust the bus driver. And Ed, we'll get into the train. And we'll trust the train driver. I'd even take a few pounds and stick them in the bank. I mean, that's a dangerous thing, isn't it? We are a trusting people. But isn't it amazing? We can't trust him. You see, what all he wants you to do tonight is to take that wee life of yours that the devil's mad to get at. He's mad. He's dying. He's biting at the bit to ruin your life. He can't wait to get a grip of your soul. And he can't wait to damn you in hell. And the only thing that's going to save you is if you trust in the one who has already beaten the devil, has overcome Satan, and we can live in the victory of Christ. Isn't that it? It's the only thing. You have not got strength against the devil. And I've often said, I'm near finished, I've often said that when you're in a meeting like this or in a meeting like last week, whatever, and you sense God speaking to you and you hear a voice saying, no, there's plenty of time, wait. Always identify that voice as the devil's, because God never tells you not to trust Christ. There was impulsive Peter, there was doubting Thomas, and there was practical Philip. Lord, it just doesn't add up. Now, I've thought about this. Philip, Lord, just show us the Father and sufficeth us. Lord, we want a wee bit of evidence. If we could have a wee smidgen of evidence that what you're telling us is the truth. I said, Philip, where have you been? Look, Philip, you've seen him feed the 5,000. Philip, you've seen him raising the dead. You saw him as he dealt with those individuals. Look, Philip, were you not there whenever he dealt with that woman that was caught in adultery? Where were you? So what more evidence does he need? Here's what the problem is. You're not saved, as we said on Tuesday night, because you love your sin. And you'll take any excuse and any bit of advice that the devil will give you and any piece of self-justification, and you'll take whatever the devil's saying, whatever the men are saying, whatever opinions are saying, whatever the world is saying, you'll take whatever anybody else is saying, but you'll not take what God is saying. Because you love your sin and you're not willing to trust him. You don't want to forsake your sin, and you'll believe any old lie that the devil throws at you. The earth declares the glory of God, we said this morning. And we see his handiwork, and we believe, we know, because there's been tyrants, and there have been individuals, and there's been dictators, and there's been even communism. They've all tried to get rid of this, haven't they? They've all tried. It's still standing. Boy, I tell you, there were times when they took every Bible they could get and they tried to burn it and they tried to wipe it out and they tried to eradicate Christianity of the world. But here. We're still here. We're still here. Man has seen all the evidences of the power of God. He's just chosen not to believe. Don't you tell me this is what the world says. Don't you tell me that God's a God of love. Look at those murders in Florida. Why didn't God stop that? Don't you tell me that God's a God of love. Look at those fires that happened in California. Don't you tell me there's a God of love. Look at those earthquakes that took so many people out of this world. And so on and on and on they rattle. If you want an answer to the world and the opinions of people as to why tragedies happen in the world, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you. Here's your explanation. Here's your answer. Stuff happens. Why? Stuff happens because we're in a fallen world. Why are we in a fallen world? Because that's what Adam and Eve chose. God says, Adam and Eve, don't you go down that route, because down that route there's death and there's darkness and there's despair and there's depression and there's misery. Of the day thou eat thereof, they shall surely die. They didn't fully comprehend what he was saying, but he was telling them there's a right road and there's a wrong road. Just take God at his word. And of course, we level the blame. The world levels the blame at God. When all the time, the stinking old devil himself. He's not the old fella, by the way. Don't you give him an endearing name. Don't you even call him old Nick. You call him by his biblical name. The accuser, the devil, Satan, the destroyer of your soul. And people don't believe in God but when a tragedy happens. When that's what the insurance people say, isn't it? If something happens, it's an act of God. So these three people were gathered around his feet. Jesus said, listen, I am the way. Just take me at my word. Think about what I've done and think about what you're going to witness. And not too long from this point, they were going to see their lovely Lord hanging on a cross. And they never saw one angry word. They never saw him shrinking or fainting from it. And they heard those seven sayings on the cross. And even an ungodly centurion was able to say as he stood and watched Jesus die. He was an ungodly centurion. Surely this man was the Son of God. Well, can I give you one more point? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm finished though. I think I've told you this wee story before. I don't like my messages being too full of wee stories, but I'm trying to be as simple to communicate to your heart. Notice the stipulation of what Jesus said. Cometh. Come. You have to come. Now, you might wonder, well, what difference will it make? Well, don't you worry about what difference it'll make. And you might worry about what it'll cost you. Don't you worry about that. And you might worry about what will people think about you, your mates. Don't worry about that. Those are all lies of the devil. No, you give your life to him. Jesus didn't say, don't you, he just said, listen, I am the way. And the moment that you tap into the resources of God, your soul floods with light. And there's a sense in which you've now been translated, transported. There's been a new birth experience. Hallelujah. There's a new birth experience. There's joy that fills your soul. There's a sense of liberty and freedom where God, by his majesty and his grace and his mercy, he comes to your soul and he says, you're mine, and you're adopted into the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious salvation we have. And all you have to do is come. He's not asking you to jump through theological hoops. You just come. Come as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. I want to tell you, he's the sufficient one. He's the satisfying one. He's, glory to God, he's the saving one. Oh, I feel like getting excited tonight. What's happened to our preacher? See, whenever God does something in your heart, when he does something real, and you know what, it's becoming more and more real every day. It really is. We heard a wee bit of tragic news a few weeks ago. I was devastated. Andy Little. Remember Andy, Esther? down Ringsend Orange Hall outside Crookstown. Oh, I remember the night he got saved as well. I think I've told you this story, but I'm going to tell you it again. It's worth a telling. Andy got saved. I'll tell you exactly how it happened. Esther was preaching that night. And she made this illustration or this challenge. She says, if you would like to, if you have a desire, a hungering, a hankering in your heart to get right with God, she says, as you're leaving the meeting tonight, she says, the normal thing we do is shake with the right hand. You know, it's amazing. I was just thinking about that. You know, I'm left-handed, but I'd never think of shaking hands with the left hand. But Esther says that if you are serious, she says, normally we shake with the right hand, but she says, tonight, if you want to trust Christ, you shake me with the left hand. Andy died a young man there. I'm glad he was saved. Heart condition that he didn't detect. I'll never forget it, because I would go down and I'd be getting hymn books and tidying them up, and Esther doing the shaking of the hands. I remember walking down the aisle. It was a big, long orange hall. It was so long we had to get ourselves a PA system, because we were hoarse to the throat, trying to roar down. You know the hall, don't you? And Andy was making the long exit. I can remember him stopping midway. This is true. What am I going to do? And he walked down towards the door like this. And you could see the moment when he got the victory. And just about two steps from Esther, he reached his left hand. And the rest is history. He was smoking 120 cigarettes a day. He was drinking, I don't know what he was drinking, but he was drinking. Not that those are the only sins that we ever do, by the way. You might never touch a fag, and you never say a bad word, and you might never drink a pint, but you could be as big a sinner as someone that is. Don't you think that because you don't do some of the things that some people do, that doesn't make you a sinner? But I tell you, it's a simple little challenge. But Andy proved it with his life. He became one of our greatest friends from that moment. When we went down to Cork, he travelled down regularly. Whenever we needed a wee bit of work done in the house down in Bandon, Andy drove the 300 miles and proved that God had changed him. I said, what about the smokes? He says, I never thought of a smoke since. And I never told him to stop. Do you want to know God? Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the way. I am the truth. So how do you do it then? Well, listen, here's how you do it. Listen, don't give up on me yet. Here's how you do it. Lord, you've spoken to my heart tonight. I know I'm not saved. I've got all sorts of old thoughts running through my head. I've got all sorts of habits that are plaguing my life. Lord, I know you can. You won the victory for me. You died my death. You took my punishment. And you have paid the penalty. I know that. Lord, come into my life. Save me. Change me. And help me to be all that you want me to be. See if you do that. If you do it and believe it and mean it, you'll never be the same again. Because I haven't been. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, that your spirit will win the victory in every heart and life. Oh God, we pray that you'll glorify your Son in hearts. Oh Father, would you not come and impress the urgency in some young heart tonight? Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing the first three verses, Gary, 1, 2, and 3 of 302. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's tea afterwards, which means that you can meet with us in the hall, or you can come in and have the tea, or if you want, just stay where you are, where some people did last week, and they met with God here as they stayed in their seat. If God has been speaking to your heart, don't you leave tonight, because the devil wants you to leave without doing anything about this. But if you're seeking after him, seek us out. We'll not be hard to find. 302, the first three verses. We'll stand and sing. Thanks, men. Let's stand. Father, we pray that you'll part us in your fear and with your blessing. As we share in the cup of tea and the biscuit, and as we share fellowship together, we pray that our fellowship will be sweet. But, O God, help us not to lose what it is that you've been saying in our gathering this evening. Please, Lord, we pray, will you win the battle in hearts tonight for the glory of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.